Welcome to the Heroic Hachemont Service. This is Jackson Snyder, presenting today the Bishop Daniel Bendel Regesh in an exciting message, anointed just for you. Cut.
Today, I want to talk with you about a subject that I generally talk about around this time every year, and it might explain some of the things that you are seeing going on in your homes, in your workplaces, in your personal lives. Our scripture reading on this morning, there will be two of them, will come from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we will begin at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently to the voice of Yahweh, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. The second verse, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahweh. The third verse, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the country. Fourth verse, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, your cattle, and the increase of your kind. The fifth verse, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Let's remove from there. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And we're going to pick this up in the 10th verse. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in Yahweh and in the power of his might. And the 11th verse says, put on the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The 12th, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The 13th verse say, wherefore take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand some more. May Yahweh bless the reading of his word. The name of this teaching is called Worldwide Angelic Wrestling. And I've taught this, as I said earlier in my introduction, I've taught this in many places and in many times in my ministerial life. When I first heard this teaching, I thought it was something silly. Worldwide Angelic Wrestling. What is that? That sounds like something that you see on the WWE or the NWA, something like that. But when I walked out of the door where I first heard this message, it began to make sense. And here's the sense that it makes. Through my studies and through my travels, I've come to understand that there are two times in the year where there are cycles of spiritual warfare, cycles of high spiritual activity. And that time is from late January, particularly, but it mainly starts in February, and it goes all the way up through and to Passover, Hagmatzot, all the way through to Shavuot. That's the first one. The second one begins in August, and it goes up through Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, concluding shortly after Sukkot. Why is this? This happens because we all must understand that we are living in an age of increased spiritual activity. The clean angels, the angels of light, are constantly battling the dark angels, the forces of darkness, for your soul, for the souls of your family, for the souls of your children, for the soul of your community, for the soul of your souls of your congregation, for the soul of your ministry, the life of your ministry. I don't know how many times just in this in the month of February alone that I have heard about disputes in the Yihad, disputes that are going on in the homes of family members of the Yihad, personal attacks on leadership in the jihad, leader attacking leader, minister attacking minister, husbands getting into it with wives, wives getting into it with husbands, children being rebellious and contrary, children running away from home. These things are all interconnected, and they're interconnected because we as a jihad and as associates of the jihad have not discerned the signs of the times. Matthew 24 says that when you see these signs taking place, talking about a different incident, but it's all interconnected because that was, again, a spiritual battle. When you see the sun darken, when you see the moon not giving light, when you see the fig tree, know that this generation will not pass until the great day of Yahweh. I personally believe that that great day of Yahweh came and it was at the sacking of Jerusalem, but I also believe that it is going to happen again. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the powers of the heavens that will be shaken. A lot of people think that this war has already happened in the heavens and that Satan has been cast down. I don't believe that at all. Enoch tells you that there are different levels of the heavenlies. The first level is where the throne of the Almighty is in his presence, where Satan used to be. There is another level where Yahweh comes down from the first level to conduct the affairs of men. I believe that Satan has access to that area. Why? Because it talks about, they call him the Akukauta. Short is this, the accuser of the brethren. You'll find that in the book of Revelations. And it states in there, when Satan is cast down to the earth, he said, one of the angels say, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the accuser of the brother, the Alcocata, has been cast down. I don't believe that that has happened as of yet. You know why? Because I didn't see it. The Bible is very specific, and it says he was cast down like a flash, which means all the inhabitants of the earth will see him fall. And woe unto the inhabitants of the earth when he does fall, because he's going to tear this place up. So now let's go back to the understanding that there is a spiritual battle that is going on. There's a spiritual battle in our lives. And then we're going to talk about what we can do about it, what we need to be doing. Now, we know that there's a battle in the heavens. We know that the forces of light are fighting the forces of darkness. We know that there's high angelic activity. How do I know? I've seen it myself. I've told you the account before where a silly lady that I used to know in Miami let me out of a car into oncoming traffic. And as I was facing the oncoming traffic, this man came, this young kid, about 16, 17, came and stood between me and the traffic, took me into the store where I was going. And when I reached out to kind of do something for him, bang, he was gone. I said, where's this person? I want to talk to this person. Nobody by that name works here. I said, hallelujah. I said, thank you, Father. I said, because you've been taking care of me from day one that I've come out of my mother's womb. You've taken care of me in all of my situations, in all of my circumstances. You've always protected me. And so these actions like that are things that go on. Now, I'm going to give you some advice, because a lot of us have gotten behind the eight ball. We have got to understand that this is not an academic, intellectual exercise. The enemy has been at this for 6,000 years. He's not playing with you. He's not playing with you. He's not playing with your husband. He's not playing with your children. He's not playing with the jihad. He's not playing with other congregations that are trying to preach and live out the truth that the Almighty has given us. And as such, you need to know that you have to start living holy. Yahweh cannot protect you, as we're going to see in this armor here in Ephesians 6. As a matter of fact, let's look at it. Let's look at Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, so that you may quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Talking about Satan. Now, we have got to live holy. We cannot live this thing out like you would live on a university campus. We studied in college in the daytime, and in the nighttime, we had our fraternity parties and loose, wild living. We have to be under the covering of the helmet of salvation. We have to have on us the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. We have to have our loins girded about with truth. We have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you notice what's uncovered in this armor, it's the back. Why is it uncovered? It's uncovered because your brother, your sister is supposed to have your back. They're supposed to be watching your back, not worried about if you're going to stab them in the back. And in many Hebraic roots congregation and Messianic congregation, Messianic and Hebraic roots organization, particularly those who serve in the area of ministry, the worry is always about their back. They're constantly stabbing each other in the back. They're constantly backbiting each other. They're constantly doing things to sabotage one another. They're constantly doing things to destroy one another. Psalms 91 says, he who dwelleth in the secret place and that hides themselves in the shadow of the Almighty, in the day of calamity, that person shall be saved. Yahweh cannot hide you. He cannot protect you. He cannot cover you over with his wings if you're living in lawlessness. If you're treating your brother as if he was an enemy, if you're treating your sister as if they are the devil. The world even has standards. If you go back to the top of Ephesians 6:12, it says it shows you the ranks and the orders that are in hell. And for those of us who have an issue with structure, who have an issue with order, you know, you have to understand two things. One, somebody is going to tell you what to do. And a lot of us don't like to be told what to do. Don't you tell me what to do. I'm my own God. I make my own decisions. I call what's right and I call what's wrong. But that's not true. If you live right, if you live holy, you will be told what to do, lovingly instructed in the kingdom of the Almighty. If you end up in the kingdom of darkness, there is an order there, and you will be told what to do in the kingdom of darkness. Yeshua always referred to us as sheep or goats. You know, I hear the jokes and the political pundits talk about sheeple, but the truth of the matter is we need to see ourselves the way Yeshua sees us. Yeshua always referred to you as sheep or goat. Aren't we not to believe what Yeshua said about us? He knows us. He created us. And so as brothers and sisters in the Vera Asenia, we have to live right. It's good to study. Timothy tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto Yahweh, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of emet, truth. That's good. But at some point, we are going to have to live this stuff out in this evil and dark age. We can't be covered by the wings of the Almighty when we are not living right. Does his mercy endure forever? Absolutely. There's some of us that, you know, we're unchurched and we don't necessarily know. And Yahweh will work with you on that. But there are others who do know and who are making a conscious choice to be lawless. Those, there are going to be consequences for. For every action, there is a reaction. For everything that we do wrong, there's going to be a consequence. King David's a good example of that. King David, when he was supposed to be taking care of his business, was peeping out the window where he didn't have any business peeping out of the window. And so he desired the young Bathsheba, and he began to set about a plan to commit sin. He had this woman's husband sent out to the forefront of the battle where he was killed. Then he said, I'll come along and I'll be the knight in shining armor and I'll rescue this woman. He did that. And then Yahweh said, you know what? I'm sick of this. So he sends Nathan the prophet in, and Nathan the prophet goes in and gives him a little parable and says, he gave him the story. He says, tell me about what would you say it should be done to the person that does A, B, and C? And David, having caught him a little religious spirit, sat up and said, this person should be this, he should be that, and he should be made to pay back everything they owe. Nathan pointed at him and said, you are the man. You're the man. So you see, it happens to everybody. You're not the only one that's going through this. This battle in the heavenlies that go on for your soul between light and darkness, this battle will go on with or without you. What's our job? One is our jobs are to be living holy, obeying Yahweh's commandments. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, if you will obey, if you will do it. Notice how he says, just in that part, that chapter goes on in 65 verses. And it goes on and it talks about the blessings and the cursings that will be assigned to Klal Israel as they enter the land. Moshe Rabbeinu, the spiritual father of Klal Israel at that time, told them, if you stick closely to my commandments and do what you've been taught to do these past 40 years, you will be successful. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. You'll have children. You'll have food. You'll have everything that you desire and your heart's desire coming out of slavery. But if you do not obey, these are the things that will befall you. You'll go in one way to a battle and you'll flee out seven ways. You'll be stricken with madness, mental illness. You'll be stricken with blindness. You'll be stricken, with all of the diseases that fell on Egypt. And believe it or not, those things still apply. Some of us are living like we're in poverty instead of living like we are the children of the Almighty. Some of us are wrestling with battling with mental health issues when we can be healed, set free, and delivered. Some of us are battling inner torment. Some of us are going through inner torment because we refuse to obey the bath call of the Almighty. Many of us are suspicious. Many of us are angry. We're bitter. We're jealous of those that Father has brought into our midst to walk in their ministries. And others are jealous because people are walking and they don't want them to walk. And that's because they're afraid to get up and walk themselves. Yahweh would say to you this day, you are no longer ignorant. Get up and walk. This battle is not going to stop, my friends. This battle is going to continue to rage. This battle will continue to rage until the powers of the heavens, spoken about in Matthew chapter 24, will be shaken and Satan himself is cast down from the heavens to the earth. Now, why would Yahweh do that? You know, throw him in the deep space somewhere like they did in Star Wars. You remember when Darth Vader was trying to blow up the Death Star and something happened and Darth Vader ended up in deep space somewhere? I mean, could Yahweh have done that? Yes, he could have. Why? Because he's sovereign. But he specifically chose to have him fall on the earth. Why? Because he says in Revelations that he wants him to fall before all the nations so that the nations can say, is this he who has caused so much crime, lawlessness, and foolishness in the earth? Is this he who we were all afraid of? Is this he who we will sacrifice into? Is this he who put drugs into our communities? Is this he who caused suicides? Is this he who tore apart the family? And so he's going to come to this earth. He's going to be knocked down to this earth. And we're all going to see him just the way we're all going to see Yeshua. So we take upon ourselves this helmet of salvation. We put upon our chest the breastplate of righteousness. Let's talk about that for a minute. What does it mean to be righteous? It means that in our business practices, we do things fairly. We strive to keep all of his commandments. You know, keeping the Torah is not a hard thing. We have been told by Christianity and antinomianists that the law, the Torah, is burdensome. It's cumbersome. It's something that you can't keep. But if you understand his Torah correctly, because why would he give you this if there was no way to keep it? Judah strives to keep it all the time. Of course, they have added man-made traditions and man-made ways. They put out a rock fence after fence after fence. If you've ever listened to a reading of the Mishnah, you want to blow your brains out at times. Because the question that you're screaming at the computer, why? Why does it take all of that? And it really doesn't. Give an example. We just read it in the liturgy. It says, the seventh day Shabbat you shall keep. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Shabbat of Yahweh. In it you shall not do any work. What's hard about that? Nothing. I've had to leave a job over the Shabbat. I used to work for the Marriott. And the Marriott wanted to try to be slick. And even though I told them at my interview that I was Jewish, I was Torah observant, and these are days that I'm going to put on a calendar and I'm going to turn into your HR department. And on those days, I will take those days off. Then after the fact, they came and they said, no, we need you to work these days. I'm not. That's not my problem. That's not my problem. I told you on day one that I'm Jewish and that I celebrate the Shabbat and I celebrate the Moedim of the Almighty. So now I'm firing you and I'm shaking the dance off my the dust off my feet as I'm leaving the Marriott and dancing around like a complete bumbling idiot. But I felt free to serve the Almighty. And this is the way we have to get. We have to understand that we are children of the Most High. We are ambassadors. We're shlichim of Yahweh. And that we cannot walk around in fear, doubt, and unbelief and expect to be blessed. James talks about that, that when somebody prays and they ask Yahweh for something, they must believe that they are going to receive. And if anybody prays in doubt or asks amiss, let that one not expect to receive anything from the Almighty. And this is what has happened to most of us, that we're praying because we know that we are supposed to pray. We're asking things because we know that we're supposed to be asking things, but our souls are quaking like dead man's bone. Our heart melts. Now, why is that? Because I personally believe that the body is a living epistle, read of all men. I think in many cases, it's because a lot of times we know we're not living right. See, when you live right before the Almighty and you're righteous and you're doing righteousness, as it says here, put on the breastplate of righteousness, righteous judgment, righteous living, making proper judgment calls. Righteousness, not necessarily what's good for you, but what's good for the Almighty in the kingdom of the Almighty. You are an ambassador, yet you want to walk around. You want to walk around and tell Yahweh that treat Yahweh as if he is your genie. Yahweh is not a genie and Yahweh is not a cosmic teddy bear. Yahweh is the Almighty. He is the King of Kings. He is the creator of the universe. He is our deliverer. He is our life. He's our breath. But yet we think that we can live how we want to live, act how we want to act, say what we want to say, do what we want to do to people, and expect that Yahweh is going to be okay. Did you know that when you get angry with another minister or overseer and you come against that person, you're not coming against that person at all. You're coming against the anointing of the Almighty. You coming against the authority of the Almighty? Gamaliel said when they'd call the Talmudim or the Shlichim at this point in, and the Sanhedrin specifically commanded that they not teach in the name of Yeshua. And one of them stood up and say, we don't fear you, we fear the Almighty. And when they beat them, they set them out. And they counted it all joy to be beaten for the name of Yeshua. But in the course of that inquiry, there was one that stood up, the president, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. And he said, leave these men alone. And he began to tick off a list of calamities that had befallen certain sects and groups. And he said, listen, if this be of Yahweh, you men risk the anger and the wrath of Yahweh by fighting against Yahweh. But if this be of man, then of course it'll come to naught, which in many cases where those things had happened, yes, it came to naught. And you guys that are in leadership, specifically, you who are in leadership, the backbiting must stop. The sabotaging must stop. The telling things that may not be the entire truth must stop. Because if you want to be blessed, if you want to grow, if you want to be successful in all that Yahweh has put your hand, that you put your hand to do, these things, the lies, the deception, the sabotage, the backstabbing and the backbiting, they'll have to cease. And that goes for all of us as members of the Yahad, because people are watching us. People are watching us. I mean, there's something, I think it might have been Paul that might have said that the world will know who you are by your love. Love is not just tolerating another human being. Love is how you treat one another. Love is how you respect one another, how you honor one another. Love is how you go to bat for a principle, not necessarily an individual. Love, while you do have to look away from things at times, love is sometimes you having to go to that person and tell them, listen, this behavior I noticed or this thing I've noticed, and you need to stop that. You're better than that. All of these things are what cause us to be uncovered and leave us exposed to the attacks of the enemy. If the enemy know that you're scared to death of Allison Harrison, that the enemy is going to use that rift between you and Allison Harrison to keep things going. Fear is the number one thing that the enemy uses to control us. Our sovereignty is to Yahweh, who is almighty.
Bishop Ragash and friends will be right back after these important announcements.
When we operate in fear, doubt, unbelief, and anger, and bitterness, we're saying that our sovereignty is to the kingdom of darkness. Yeshua came down to this earth. He died. He lay in the tomb for 3 days. After that, he rose from the dead. He ascended to our Father as the first fruits. He presented the first fruits to his Abba. From there, he is going to come to judge the quick and the dead. And he's paid a debt. He paid a debt for this. You know, he's already taken care of this. And we are acting as if the debt hasn't been paid when we mistreat one another, when we talk about one another, when we lie to one another to keep things going. Sometimes we don't know what we're doing because we, you know, we think this is just the normal part of the cycle of life. And yes, you have disagreements. Yes, you have battles. Yes, you have all these things going on. Yes, you may be upset with somebody for whatever reason. But there are methods and ways to handle these things. We've got to get better about handling this stuff. Take the sword, which is your word. Many of us have become accustomed to tearing up everything, and we tear it up because we don't like it. Yahweh tells us to eat clean. He tells us in Leviticus 11, what is food for us? But we come up with semantics to justify something else. And that's the thing you have to be careful. Academics and study is awesome. It's good. But we have to ask the question today, where's the line? Where is it? Where's the line? We talked about this last night in a discussion. And if you missed it, you really missed out on a treat. Because we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked a little bit about some testimonies. And we talked about how we've got to find a balance and make holiness a priority. The gifts that come about as a result of striving for holiness to be in full operation. See, Yahweh gave us gifts to sustain us while we are in the galut. He gave us these gifts. And yet we have thrown away the gifts because the Messianics and the Hebraic roots and the worldwides and its offshoots told you that it was of the devil. And so what you did is you threw away your shield. You threw away your sword because the enemy said, oh, well, everything did well because they had manhandled the word so much, you can't trust it, so throw it away. You throw away that, and now you start looking into other avenues that may be good, helps you with the historic value of this stuff. But how does it change your salvation? Is it important to your salvation? Is it important to your spiritual health? Is it important to your mental health? Is it important to your family life? It may help you to understand, and it may cause you to tweak some things to help you worship better and help you become closer to Yahweh. But at the end of the day, what does that have to do with your salvation? And as a result, many have gotten lost in the fray. We've gotten lost in the fray because we are consumed by knowledge. Knowledge that is not governed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing because when it's like giving a child a loaded gun. I never forget my grandfather, blessed be his memory. My grandfather was a veteran of World War I. And my grandfather kept a lot of weapons in his home. And during the early years, I told you about how me and my granddaddy spent a lot of time together because he and my grandma Ida, they babysitted me. In the mornings, I would go because my mom was a registered nurse at the hospital. She worked at Jackson Memorial. She was also the head nurse at the Loony Bin over there, South Florida State. And so she would go to work and she would fix me everything I needed. And my granddad would come over in the big old Lincoln and they'd take me over there to their house. Well, this one day, my father was cleaning a double barrel shotgun. And he set that double barrel shotgun down in preparation for cleaning. And I was around, crawling around. My grandma Ida was making something in the kitchen. And I was transfixed by this weapon, you know. And so I began to slowly crawl over to this weapon. And I crawled over to it. And I crawled up the stalk of it and got my hand around the trigger. And Bishop Forbes just came out there just like lightning flash. And he pulled me away and he put me on his in his arms and he carried me away and he whapped my pamper something fierce. And then later on, as a lesson, he took me out in the backyard and he loaded that double barrel shotgun. And he said, "You want to be a smart butt? I'm going to show you what this does." And so he has targets set out back there where steel is. And so he began to shoot it, and then we would walk up together, and we would look at the cans or the bottles, and he would show me what those things, what bullets did to people. That was the most starkest lesson my grandfather ever taught me. And trust me, I didn't mess with them anymore. I didn't mess with those weapons anymore, but I was really, you know how kids are. I was really intrigued by this weapon, but it almost got me killed. And that's what knowledge can do if not properly disseminated, if not properly received through the Holy Spirit. You can hurt yourself or you can hurt others. And so as we take this new knowledge in brought out by Josephus and Flutonius and all these other guys, that gives us a glimpse into the time capsule of Yeshua and the early Nazarene Essenes and what it was like to live under Roman occupation. We ought to take that stuff, filter that through the Holy Spirit to know what is good and profitable for doctrine and for rebuke, for all these things. All these things are profitable for something, but it takes the Holy Spirit to really help us to do this. And a walk of holiness is it's required. Now, did I say you have to be holy all the time? Absolutely not. But we have to be trying. We have to be striving. We can't be making up excuses saying, "I'm doing the best I can," and we're not even trying. You have to get in the game. See, how you practice. I had an old football coach once tell me, and I used to love to clown around and practice, but a football coach who told me, "Stop playing." And I never understood that. And he said, if you play around and practice, what you do in practice is what you're going to do in the game. What we do now, how we treat each other now, how we talk about each other now, how we sabotage each other now, how we do things to deliberately hurt one another now. When Yeshua returns to set up his kingdom in the earth, you are not going to stop doing what you were doing in practice. You're going to continue to do that. You ever heard of the term, practice does make perfect? You live Torah. You keep Shabbat. You keep the Mo'adim. You eat clean. You love your neighbor as yourself. You help minister to widows and orphans and those that are in trouble to alleviate their situations. If you do that now, when Yeshua returns, he will find you doing his Father's business. Just check out Matthew chapter 25. When he tells the goats to go away into everlasting torment because of what? Their lawless behavior. If you are lawless now, if you are ungovernable now, you're going to be lawless and ungovernable at the time of Yeshua. And when he sets up his kingdom, you will not be there. It just is what it is. Yeshua is coming back for a holy people, a holy nation that have made themselves ready. Revelation talks about it. Behold, the bride has made herself ready. He's not going to come down here and do this for you. You are going to have to do it. You are going to have to take steps. You are going to have to make changes in your life. You are going to have to fight off those attempts of the enemy to put things in your hand. Because see, the enemy loves to take tap dance on our brain and tell us things that are not true, to cause us to make up enemies that are not there, to cause us to be suspicious of everyone trying to help out. He loves us, and he does not operate this way. And if we are going to be the people to ameliorate all creation, our hearts, our minds have to change. And it's going to call for a set apart lifestyle. Some of us in the room are not Essenes, but you can become Essenes by dedicating yourself to being a doer of Torah. What does vero mean? Truth. What does it mean? Doers. Yahad, Torah, together. We can all do this if we will make that effort to do this. And now you can go ahead and chat in the chat if you so choose. But at some point, we've got to make a personal decision to stop the shenanigans, stop the things that are going on right now, so that we can operate, be under the covering of the Almighty's wings, per Psalm 91. Lastly, husbands, wives, you have got to pay attention during this time. I reiterate that time is from late January all the way up through and to Shavuot. You've got to pay attention. When you see your wife starting to act crazy, go learn to go somewhere, be silent and pray. Wives, when your husband does something stupid and you want to take the skillet and go upside his head, learn to intercede and pray and hold up that man. Parents, watch your children, talk to your children, pray with your children, because oftentimes these demons come into the home through the child. It comes into the home through the weaker vessel. Men, you have to stop being effeminate and you need to start being the priest of the home. Sisters, I know that in some cases you have had to be the priest of the home, but you have got to walk in the direction that the Almighty shows you. Sometimes through intellectuality, we figure, I know the score. I know what I need to do. I'll do it. But then we go out like the children of Israel did at the Battle of Ai, and we figure we have it all together. And then we get beat. Yahweh told them to do one thing. They did another. And in that case, the sin was what? Stealing things that were not theirs. And as a result, it caused Israel to be beaten. They were able to come back, but they had to dispense with the sin that had caused Israel trouble in the first place. Men and women of the Yihad, now was the time. Now was the day of salvation. Now is the time to begin the process of cleaning up our act before Passover. Passover is not a nice, pretty dinner that you go and sit down to and enjoy the fellowship. Yes, that's part of it, but before Passover, during this time, we need to be examining ourselves, examining our hearts, examining our relationships with people, examining our relationships in our home and the congregations and the community. If I came to you today, what is your testimony? Do you have a good testimony, or are you an embarrassment to Yeshua? What's your behavior like at work? What's your behavior like in the home? Are you constantly fighting with everybody like you're fighting with people in the yard? We need a change in our hearts. We need a change in our souls. We need a change so that we can go forth and be empowered to wear the whole armor of the Almighty. I challenge you today to begin the process of taking off the old man. I challenge you today to be not conformed to the things of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Since a lot of the battle is in the mind, you have to be transformed in that area. Once you are transformed in that area, you can be empowered. How do you become transformed? You become transformed in the area by taking on the mind of Yeshua. Today, I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, to stop and to ask Yeshua into your hearts, to ask Yeshua to come and remove the sin from your heart. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Yeshua is and that Yahweh raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Say, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Some of us have not done that. We left the church, and we may have had a stint in the world. Some of us may have come to Hebrew roots, and we may have done that. I challenge you today that if you'll make that statement make that profession of faith, and then start over. You say, behold, all things are washed away, passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You could be a new creature in Messiah Yeshua if you'll just ask him. If you were to go home tonight, if you were to pass away tonight, do you know that you would be in Yeshua's kingdom? If you don't know that, I would strongly suggest that you do that. For those of you who may need to rededicate themselves, you've been in this walk, you've been through a lot, you've been jaded by your experiences, why don't you rededicate yourself to him today? Why don't you reach out and take a hold of the hem of Yeshua's garment today? Why don't you say, here am I, Hineni, and rededicate yourself to him, to rededicate yourself to holiness, rededicate yourself to living set apart. Yahweh is calling to us today. Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh, we come to you in the name of your son, Yeshua, our Messiah. And we ask, Abba, for you to forgive us. Forgive us who are veterans in this for living an unholy lifestyle. Forgive us, Abba, for giving place to the enemy to do things in our minds that will cause us to attack other saints, to attack family members, to attack the people that we work for. Forgive us, Yahweh, for being a bad testimony all around. I've been through a lot. Help me. Help me to walk in your ways. Teach me your ways. Teach me to be the man or the woman that you've called me to be. Forgive me for my sin. Receive me back into your hands. And don't let me go. And help me to walk out this holy lifestyle that you've called me to live. Help me to walk in love and the admiration of not only yourself, but my fellow brothers and sisters. Help me to love again. Help me to trust again. Help me to be healed again, be delivered, be set free from the clutches of the enemy. Thank you, Father, for coming to this earth and dying for me and rising on the third day, where you are now the right hand of our Abba Yahweh. Thank you, Abba. I praise you, and I give you all honor and glory. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Did you know that the Vero Essene Yahad has weekly Shabbat services online? Why, yes, we do. At 11 a.m. on Shabbat, we have our remote service, where we have a lot of great preachers rotating every Shabbat so you won't get tired of them. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we've got the local Vero Yahad service that's on. Pastor Commander Lee will be speaking then. And we have a 3:33 club in the afternoon, where I'll bring up any number of different topics, and oft times I'll ask you to join in with me. So why don't you join us on Shabbat? Hey, you have no place to go. You're lonely there, no one to worship with, no way that you can fulfill the second half of that commandment, that you have a holy convocation. Well, now you can. 11 a.m., 1:20 p.m., and 3:33 in the afternoon with a Vero Essene Yahad. Go to veroyahad.org for information on how to get online. And instead of having a Shabbat Shalom, have yourself a Shabbat Shaboom instead.
A Shabbat poem from Matthew Anish. Take a break from the information barrage by observing Shabbat. Shabbat services give us a glimpse of the eternal and revitalize the soul. Hebrew letters frame the evening as ancient prayers resonate in the midsummer air. We shall lift our voices in praise of the one before whom all pretense is futile. A power beyond the shores of the known will guide us this evening. A warm glow in our hearts will take the place of the sorrows and worries of the week. Let a Shabbat penetrate into the core of your being, for you owe it to yourself to take a break from the toil. You owe it to yourself to take delight from Shabbat.
A Shabbat poem by Ken Carroll. Sweet woman of Yah, sing to me the song of songs, song of love, with kisses of wine. I desire you as Adam desired Eve, primordial affection. This knowledge I seek of you, my beloved one. You are dark and beautiful, but grace alone is deceitful. Beauty by itself ever so vain. You, my love, possess both, coupled with the fear of Yah, for you are deserved of praise. I seek you when dusk turns to night, Shabbat. The remnants of daylight is in your eyes, leaving a kiss of the day's memory. Let us read from the books of Zohar. We are surrounded by the Kabbalat angels, where the Shabbat queen restores our love each week. O my love, suspended are we between the secular and the sacred. Almighty Yah has created this wonderful world for us in radiant shards and sparks of light. Tonight we tend our souls. Come, let us embrace the Kabbalah. I draw for you a most wonderful mandala for my darling. A dream is dreamed three times. The evening is upon us. I see over your shoulder falling your hair in serpent-like ringlets, your black hair. It's twisted to allure you to me, my newfound lover. Shabbat Shalom. Hope you've enjoyed the Vero Essene Yahad Shabbat service. You have Elder Yochanan, Governor Staten, as liturgist. Preacher today is Bishop Daniel Ben Ragesh, and I'm your host, Jackson Snyder. Thank you for being with Jackson Snyder Presents on this Shabbat, and I hope you'll meet us again next week, same time, 11 o'clock a.m. on Hebrew Nation Radio. Amen.
Thank you.